Numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Tuesday edition of a numbers game here on VSiN. It is Matt Brown in for Gil Alexander. Kelly Bidlin behind the glass as usual. We will talk some baseball. Joe Sheehan going to join us a little bit later. Mark Borchard going to join us. So we got a lot of baseball on this one. Mike Golic Jr. going to join us at the end of hour number two. We will go over all things college football with him as well. We're going to run through some pretty interesting markets. Again, every single year, they never cease to amaze us with how many different markets they can invent for the NFL. We're going to hit some pretty interesting ones throughout the course of the show today as well, so stick around for that. But let's get right into it. And Kelly, listen, I know you heard this all week long. I heard it all week long. Last 2 weeks, basically, hey, Lamar Jackson was a freshman in college the last time that the Ravens lost a preseason game. Can't Feel My Face was by the weekend was the number one song last time the Ravens lost a preseason game. Straight Outta Compton was the number one movie in the box office the last time the Ravens lost a preseason game. Phil Mickelson had only gambled $250 million. No, they didn't say it. They were not saying that. They were not saying that. But fortunately, this all came to an end last night. Listen, streaks in sports are a thing for sure. And streaks, some of the streaks are very interesting. Some of the streaks are very fun. Listen, Cal Ripken Jr. played 2,632 consecutive baseball games. That is a streak that we should talk about. That is a streak that we should bring up, and certainly a streak that will live on, I think, probably forever. Joe DiMaggio had a 56-game hit streak in Major League Baseball. Something we should applaud. Something we should definitely keep at the very highest, maybe even the Mount Rushmore when it comes to streaks in all of sports. Brett Favre, if you guys remember, started 297 consecutive games at quarterback. That is a lot in today's NFL. And listen, Brett Favre went out there a lot of times. He will tell you very, very injured, but he wanted to keep that streak going. Wayne Gretzky, if you're a hockey person, you probably remember, had 51 straight games where he had at least a point. 51 straight games in which he had at least a point somewhere along the way. Martina Navratilova, probably before a lot of people's time out here, but if you want to go back and look at some of the great streaks in the course of sports history, Martina Navratilova won 74 straight matches at one point in her career. 74 straight. Never walked out on the tennis court and just had a bad day. 74 straight for her. Golf guys obviously know that Tiger Woods made 142 straight cuts. These are all streaks that matter in sports. These are all streaks we should talk about, and all streaks that somewhere along the way might have even reached out and touched you. Somewhere in your childhood, somewhere along the way, these are things that basically build sports and have stuff that we can talk about forever. Joey Sly, thank you very much, my friend, as you walked out and hit a 49-yard field goal with 9 seconds left, and you ended the dumbest streak that we talk about in all of sports. How many games you win in the preseason doesn't matter at all. Now, I'm not saying that there's nothing to this whatsoever. Obviously, there is something to this, but it's not the end-all be-all when it comes to preseason, which is why I always thought this was such a laughable thing, because it's not to win games in the preseason. That's not why they go out there. You can ask every single coach. Sure, the winning part somewhere along the way is a cherry on top, but it's not the whole reason you go out there. There's player evaluation. You've got to get this team down to 53 players, right? I mean, you've got a whole bunch of guys out there that you got to trim down to 53. There's buttoning up the depth chart. You look around. Hey, is this guy definitely going to be our backup tackle? Is this guy good enough to maybe get some starters reps? These are all things that are going on in the preseason. Cohesion. Did you bring in a couple of new linemen? Do you need to get them at least out on the field together and see what they look like? Let them all take some snaps together in real, you know, air quote, real football snaps. Is that what we're looking at here? Or, you know, again, it's just to knock the rust off of your stars and get them through without any injury, right? Or you're trying to get them through without any serious injury. That is literally what the preseason is all about. And it's not about winning games. And so I always thought that it was crazy funny that we kept bringing up this thing about that the Ravens had not lost a preseason game in so long, and talking about this streak like it belongs anywhere in the same breath with any of the ones that I just mentioned a little bit ago. Cal Ripken, Joe DiMaggio, Brett Favre, Wayne Gretzky, who are my Tiger Woods. This should never have even touched, never even have been in the same breath with any of that. And Kelly, listen, our hero, my hero, your hero, Joey Sly goes out and hits a 49-yard field goal, and we never have to talk about this ever again.
Yeah, I think a lot of people's hero out there. It feels like this was the most bet preseason game that I've heard in 2 years, because everybody was saying this was when it was going to finally end. Congrats to everybody out there that cashed tickets. You needed a last-second field goal to get it done, but yeah, it did get home. The streak ends. It is interesting, man. I know we're kind of joking about it, but it's crazy how much like Washington kind of bought into this and is talking about it and kind of hyped up about it all week. Like the Ravens, I think it's a point of pride, and I get it to a degree where it's like, hey, if we can do this, like if we can win these games while we're working on everything that you just described, because I don't believe for a second John Harbaugh is putting that above the winning above the development and getting everybody ready for the season. So, it's interesting. I'm with you. I'm kind of glad it's over, so we can talk about the Ravens at least in the preseason without bringing it up anymore. Would be nice.
Yeah, that's if you're wondering out there if you want to sweat this win streak now. The longest preseason win streak is the Raiders, actually, at 6 games.
I saw that.
So the Raiders have won 6 straight, and that is your longest preseason winning streak that is currently going. Now, there was something I do think that was a little bit interesting from that game, and that has absolutely nothing to do with the win streak whatsoever, is we know what we're getting in Washington, right? You're going to get a new offensive coordinator in Eric Bieniemy, and you're going to be getting a new quarterback in Sam Howell. And if you guys remember, if you're kind of draft people, Kelly and I really, really big into the draft. I've been really big into the draft for a long time. Sam Howell was a guy that was at least intriguing coming out of college. He decided to stay an extra year. He probably would have been a first rounder, ends up staying, falls, doesn't have that great of a season, but there was something there. Guys that are talent evaluators, I'm not, but guys that are talent evaluators thought that this guy had something and had something that could translate to the NFL game. Well, you see last night, he goes 19 of 25, 188 yards, 2 touchdowns, and no interceptions. Yes, this is still a preseason game. I'm fully aware. I get all of this stuff. But listen, I think if you're a Washington backer, a Washington fan, or anybody that has some sort of feeling that maybe there's a little bit of upside here to this Washington team, Kelly, you got to look. And against anyone, right? I mean, against any defense, against anyone, if you go 19 of 25 for 188 and 2 touches with no picks, there is something to be said for that. Because even if it's backups, even if it's third string guys, it's still the very best guys from college football ever. And they're all assembled on a field together. And it's still hard to go 19 of 25 any way you look at it.
Yeah. It was, I did think that was impressive. I was kind of shocked at how long he played last night. I mean, this is a guy that you're going to be rolled in as a starter. I know there were some questions before the game of exactly what some of the offensive players were going to do, how long they were going to play for the Commanders. I mean, most of the defensive starters, they did rest, most of the important guys. So I know there were some questions over that. He's looked good. It's preseason. I think obviously there's a long way to go. But I kind of read into things like that too. You know, like seeing him pass, throw for 25 times in a preseason game, it usually tells me there's still some work to be done before I think they feel like they're confident and ready for the season to begin.
Yeah, and one of the other things that did stick out from the box score to me and just watching the game, and this is more along a prop market type of deal, and maybe even from a fantasy perspective, if you want to look at it from that deal, is on the running back side of things, Brian Robinson got 5 carries, Antonio Gibson got 4 carries. Then you look in the receiving game and you go down a little bit further and see Brian Robinson got 4 receptions to the 3 receptions that you got out of Antonio Gibson. So it was almost kind of like, as far as distribution goes, a 50-50 split. Now, I do think Gibson probably holds a little bit of an advantage there, but I'm wondering now, Kelly, if we're looking more at like a 60-40 as opposed to a 70-30 and all that, because again, the starters were out there, they were playing starters, and it was almost a 50-50 distribution there between those two guys.
Yeah, no, I think it's a good point. I think it's something to keep in mind here is, if you're making bets or, fantasy or whatever for this year.
So let's talk about some other stuff that went on in the sports world. And Kelly, the big one was that we are looking at Jonathan Taylor being allowed to seek a trade. The Colts have come out and said, hey, look, he's going to be back. I think this is a hold-in situation that we kind of had going with him. We keep hearing this ankle injury. I don't think it's an ankle injury. I think it's him just basically saying like, hey, I don't want to be here anymore. And so they went ahead and allow him to seek a trade. Now, this is certainly not great for the Colts overall. He's arguably the best running back in the league today. I know Nick Chubb truthers will probably argue with you on that, and I'm not willing to have that debate with you. I think both of these guys are amazing. I think what is not up for debate, though, Kelly, is that this guy, no matter where he ends up, is likely to make whatever team he ends up much better. It's just who can kind of take him on. We know what the demands are. The reason he's doing this hold-in as it is anyway is he wants to get paid. And so basically not only are you taking him on, but you know you're going to have to take him on and give him a contract that makes him happy as well. The Dolphins are your favorites. And this is no shocker because the Dolphins were tied to basically every running back in the offseason that there was. It was when there were rumors that maybe that the Titans could move Derrick Henry, the Dolphins were mentioned. Dalvin Cook, the Dolphins were mentioned. All, you know, everything that was going on, the Dolphins have been mentioned tied to some sort of running back, and mainly because their running back room is pretty thin. If you like this offense as it is anyway, Kelly, they got the room too. They got $13 million in cap space. If you like this Dolphins offense as it sits today, now add in Jonathan Taylor and tell me how much you like it.
Yeah, exactly. I wonder how aggressive they're really being about that, though, because I always thought Dalvin Cook was going to be a very easy fit there and ended up not being. So, we haven't really heard too much on really how aggressive the Dolphins have been in these running back conversations. But, yeah, like you said, short shot for a
reason. What's the scariest one on that list? The Dolphins are plus 250. Bears are 4-1. Ravens are 7-1. Cowboys 7.5. Broncos 7.5. Bills 10. Bucks 10. Commanders 10.
I mean, I think the Ravens need to go out and get them, honestly. If you're trying to compete in the AFC, you need to add to that backfield. And what better way to do it?
I think the most terrifying on that list, though, would be the Bills. Now you put him in that backfield. You've got Josh Allen with the mobility that he's got, and now then you would just move James Cook into a situation where he's going to be kind of the guy that spells him. Boy, I cannot imagine at all what that might look like. Let's continue on here. We got some more news to talk about. It's a numbers game here on a Tuesday.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any BetMGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. And if you do have a gambling problem, 1-800-522-4700. We're back to the reads where the sentences are chopped up in half, and I have to try to do that on the fly and reposition everything and make everything make sense. And I did pretty well on that one. We'll see how the longer ones go with all of that. Before we get to the news and notes, I do want to welcome North Carolina. It's a first station dedicated to sports betting. Our latest affiliate here at VSiN. Bet on the Bulls 9:60 a.m. in the Greenville area. Thank you to everyone in Greenville and in North Carolina. Welcome. Hello.
Welcome
this is what we
aboard.
Do here. And I'm actually not the guy that'll be here in this time slot normally. So, but hey, it's all right. welcome anyway. And hope you enjoy everything we have on VSiN here. We talked how there was an important baseball game yesterday, Kelly. That was between the Astros and the Mariners. These were two teams that, of course, fighting, trying to, between the Rangers and the Rangers and the Mariners. And then what we're looking at here is the Astros and the Mariners both win. The Rangers blow a two-run lead in the 11th. The Texas now is lost five in a row, and the Astros are just a game and a half back. The Mariners are just two games back in this thing. So what we have in this is now a very, very heated AL West, in which is the only division in baseball with 370-win teams, though the AL East could join that conversation. The Blue Jays are 69-56, so they could win, and they would join this as well. There was a point in the Mariners game blowout yesterday against the White Sox in which Luis Castillo was just cruising along because they were winning by so much that he threw 47 straight fastballs. in the game, like 47 straight fastballs. He's like, yeah, we don't need this anymore. 47 straight fastballs in that one. So anyway, just AL West heating up. If you want to take a look at that, the Astros, of course, you knew were going to be there. Don't know if you knew for sure that the Mariners were going to be there, but they are definitely there. Some other news that came out yesterday that Michigan is going to self-impose a ban on Harbaugh there, Kelly, for three games. Now, what you want to make of this, I guess, is a little bit different because they are 36-point favorites in the first game of the year. And then game two and three are UNLV and Bowling Green. So convenient that it's a three-game self-imposed suspension of Harbaugh. But, you know, listen, they're basically saying the direct quote is, while the ongoing NCAA matter continues through the NCAA process, today's announcements are a way of addressing mistakes that our department has agreed to in an attempt to further the process. This was their athletic director that said this, and we will continue to support Coach Harbaugh, his staff, and our outstanding student athletes. Per the NCAA guidelines, we cannot comment any further on the matter until it's resolved.
Yeah, there's so many new changes and adds to college football, Matt. I appreciate old college football things like this, where this is the self-imposed punishment to get out in front of whatever punishment is coming down the pipe from the NCAA, and you try to make them happy by looking good by suspending your own coach. So this all plays out.
And it just so happens to be against East Carolina, where you're a 36-point favorite, and then you follow that up with the UNLV game, and you follow that up with the Bowling Green game. Just saying, convenient that it was a little three-game suspension.
I even thought, Matt, because like, their first that's the three games, and then they start Big Ten play, first game against Rutgers. Like, if you really want to make NCAA happy, send them out for the Rutgers game, too.
Yeah, just do the whole thing.
And then you can make a big deal about him sitting out a conference game.
They were really tough on him, those four games. Man, they were really tough on Coach Harbaugh. Yeah, so anyway, those are the real big stories. Also, it does look like Josh Jacobs is going to be showing up for the Raiders. What that exactly means, how happy he's going to be, gruntled or disgruntled, we will find out, but he is at least going to be showing up for the Raiders as well. Kelly, throughout the course of the last couple of years, you and I were, specifically when we were doing a later night program here, we were putting out our power rankings each and every week. And this is basically like, listen, if we looked at these teams, and these teams were to face off on a neutral field, which one of these teams do we like the best, right? And so this can kind of help as a decent little exercise, and I'm sure a lot of you that are serious bettors in the NFL already do this anyway, but you're trying to take a look at what team you in any given spread, like that helps you power rank and how it helps you try to pick out games each week that intrigue you that you can dig into a little bit further and maybe end up making a wager. So we decided, hey, let's bring it back. I'm here for a couple more days. So let's talk about these preseason power ratings. And, you know, Kelly, for me, I think it's very, very simple. Anyone that's listened to any content that I've done over the last couple of months here on the network knows I really, really like this Eagles team. I really, really like this roster, top to bottom. It is the number one team to me, and it's kind of the number one team with a bullet. And I understand that everything can change on a dime with an injury, and I get all that. But as we sit right now, these are, assuming health, we are looking at the top 10 teams for me. I think the Eagles come in at number one, the Chiefs at number two. Cincinnati Bengals at number three, though, there is at least a looming injury question out there about Joe Burrow. This is one of those things, those calf injuries. Kelly, we haven't talked a ton about this for whatever reason. I guess it's kind of out of sight, out of mind type deal, just because we keep hearing, oh, no, he'll be ready for week one. He'll be ready for week one. Then you get Ja'Marr Chase come out a week ago with that weird thing about, like, I told him to sit the first few games, you know, like, so I don't know if that was him almost preparing the fan base for him not coming out and playing right away or whatever it might be. But listen, these calf injuries, the thing about them is they're just really, really tricky, right? I mean, he can feel like it's getting way better, and he'd go out and he plants and throws and practice, and next thing you know, it kind of tweaks again. So there is at least an asterisk there with the Bengals at number three, because if Joe Burrow's not out there, obviously, for the first few weeks, then they would kind of fall down my poll. Not all that far, but certainly into that second five, as opposed to being way up there at number three.
Yeah, I hear you. For me, they're in top three as well. We'll get to mine in a second here. But, yeah, I think they've got some concerns, some changes in the secondary for them as well this year. It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. But as far as, you know, we're talking just pure talent on the offense, I mean, you can easily make the argument they have the most talented offensive roster in the NFL.
You look, I'm higher on the Cowboys than a lot of people are, and I have the Cowboys all the way up at number four. I think if you look at the ceiling for this team with what they've got assembled here, I think it's really, really high. I mean, the defense played really well last year for the majority of the season. Dak Prescott kind of catches a little bit of flack when I think he doesn't necessarily need to. When he was healthy and out there playing, he was pretty good. I mean, it's just he played through some injuries and certainly had some peaks and valleys. But I like this Cowboys team, at least as we enter the season. Bills in at number five. They lost a lot of players, and so that's the only reason the Bills come down at number five. Some pretty key guys that aren't going to be in there. They didn't really address that wide receiver two position, which I really wish they would have done. Now, If you listen to the beat writers, Gabriel Davis is you know, he's finally the NFL player we thought he could be, but we shall see. I wish they would have done something there. Dolphins in at number six, and this is before even possibly a Jonathan Taylor thing. I really like what the Dolphins bring to the table. I mean, this is a really good offense and a pretty good defense if you actually look at the advanced metrics from last year. So I really like the Dolphins there. Down at number seven, the 49ers. This is just a question around the quarterback position. I've talked about this ad nauseum, so I know you don't mean to keep, you know, kicking a dead horse when it comes to 49ers. But listen, I think if you have three quarterbacks, you have none. I think if you have a quarterback coming off major injury, one that you didn't really want to start anyway, and then one that's been a cast off his whole career, I don't know. I understand tons of talent on both sides of the roster. But again, most important position in all of sports is the quarterback position. So 49ers at seven. Jags at eight, Seahawks at nine, Lions at 10. Put them in a basket, pull them out, Kelly. I don't really care. Like those bottom three right there. If you told me, hey, I like the Seahawks better than the Jags, I'd be like, all right, cool, that's fine. I like the Lions better than the Seahawks. Yeah, okay, fine, cool, that's fine. The Jags, Seahawks, and Lions round out the top 10 for me. And honestly, you can kind of shuffle those up in any order, and I'd be okay with it.
Yeah, I'll be honest. We get to mine. I do not have those two NFC teams in there. It is very AFC heavy, in which I think the NFL mm-hmm. is this year. So look, if we go over to mine, I went Chiefs 1, Eagles 2. This is just sure. a tip of the cap to the Chiefs, yep. sign of respect. I'm going to stop doubting you for a lot of these different things. You keep winning, I'll put you number one. I completely agree with you, though. We were all over the Eagles last year. I don't really expect a big setback at all for this team. Expect them to be right at the top of the NFC and probably challenging for another Super Bowl. Bengals 3 for me. But, you know, every reason that you said. I think this is one of the most talented offensive teams in the NFL. Could easily push the Chiefs and every other team in the AFC to find, you know, to get to that Super Bowl, maybe finally win one this year. I'm drinking the Chargers Kool-Aid year, Matt.
Do it. Charge.
It's my turn. I haven't done it the past couple years.
That's
I'm
true.
Drinking the Kool-Aid this year.
You can be
Chargers.
Disappointed instead of me.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. I'll be that guy mm-hmm. this year. I love everything they have. I think as far as just roster construction, they might have the most talented roster in the NFL. Problem is you've had health issues. You got some new additions to the team they're going to have to work in. But I think that offense is going to be extremely dangerous, and I think that defense could be better from what we saw a year ago. So I do have the Chargers in my top five. I think this mid-range is tough to kind of sort them. I saw the order that you had them in. I did go Bills 5. I hear you. I think they deserve to take a step back. I didn't know where to slot the Cowboys in exactly. They are by far my second team in the NFC, even though I do have the Niners right behind them in my power rankings. And then I went Ravens, Jets, Jags to round it out. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows I'm high on the Jags, but it's really just to win that division. I do think the Ravens have that potential to have a great season this year.
Yeah, we'll revisit these a little bit later in the show and kind of talk about that bottom five on each of ours, because I do think that that's interesting. A couple of guys that you have in, a couple of guys that I don't. Let's talk all things Major League Baseball with Joe Sheehan here on the other side.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Legendary sports bettor Billy Walters sat down with Brent Musburger. We got that interview for you today on VSiN. Billy reveals his systems for betting the NFL, shares some unbelievable betting stories, and of course gives those details on Phil Mickelson and his gambling, include trying to bet on an event that he was actually playing in. You can check it out today, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 Pacific, here on VSiN. Again, Kelly, we mentioned this yesterday. Caveat being, Mickelson was trying to bet on himself. This was not a bet on himself to lose, because as we know, in an individual sport, if you were betting on yourself to lose, that was kind of match fixing, kind of cheating.
Yeah, bigger problem.
But he said it was on himself. He got there, felt really good, and wanted to bet on himself. So just, we should point that out, because that's mm-hmm. A pretty big thing in all of this, right? You hear in an individual sport, and you're like, a guy wanted to bet an event that he was playing in, things could get, you know, A little dicey.
You know, another programming note, that does take our long shots off of the air at our normal time, because that will be running in place of it. So if you are looking for us today, you won't find us there, but we will be doing full podcast version later today, so look for that.
Jeff tweets in and says, Bengals in the top 10 without Burrow and Ravens with Jackson out of the top 10 really gives me some other words there. And Jeff basically was saying, like, I'm assuming health with Burrow. I mean, listen, everything we're getting right now is they're telling us that he's going to be ready for week one. So we just kind of have to go with what they're telling us. If that changes, then obviously Cincinnati would tumble, and we would other teams would certainly get into the conversation. But if we get a healthy Joe Burrow with what they've got going on right there, then I think they're easily a top three team in the NFL. Let's make the switch to Major League Baseball, however. He runs the Joe Sheehan newsletter, and wouldn't you know it, his name is Joe Sheehan. Joe, thanks for joining us, my man.
Hey, I heard that the Mickelson made 43 baseball bets in a day. Is that weird? That doesn't sound unusual to me. I got to tell you, that sounds normal.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's kind of one of those things where you look and you go, how many games can possibly happen in a day? And then you start going and you do the math and you realize, like, how did he get down even? Is this guy betting first fives along with full games? Is he betting every single prop that you can get down? I mean, what was going on? How do you even do 43?
And this was back in the day before you had, you know, the apps and you could bet all of these props and derivatives. I'm pretty sure he's talking about a time when you could pretty much bet, as you said, first fives and game lines. Because so... Yeah, I'm looking forward to reading this book.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting. Phil Mickelson was just like sitting in the back at a sports book, and he's just like, "All right, can I bet this? Are you gonna let me bet this? All right, I'm gonna bet this one." He's like, "Let me bet this. Will you let me bet this?" And like, "Yeah, you can do it." All right, Joe. So listen, one of the more intriguing for me, anyway, kind of stories in all Major League Baseball, and I'm sure this is something that you've talked about at length in the newsletter, is just really this Baltimore Orioles team that seems to me kind of arrived a year early. I think we all thought that this team was going to be good with all that young talent that they had, but man, for them to perform as well as they had for as long as they have so far this year, hold that three-game lead over the Rays, is this team, I guess, in its current form this year here in 2023? I mean, is this team for real? And when I say for real, a team that we should actually be looking at as possibly making a deep run in the playoffs?
Well, my rule, Matt, is always going to be if you're good enough to make the playoffs, you're good enough to make a deep run. Remember last year, the Phillies got in as a sixth seed, made it all the way to winning two games in the World Series. You look at the history of the expanded playoffs in baseball, and it's not like being a better team doesn't help you. But the differences just don't really aren't that great. So once you're good enough to get in, you're good enough to be a threat. The Orioles are almost certainly going to be, you know, if they win the division, they'll be the two seed, so they'll advance right to the division series round. So you have to take them seriously. I will say that I projected typically what happens in baseball is if you make the big leap like the Orioles did last year, you regress the next year. And what the Orioles have simply built on that. And, of course, we look forward and think of them as a team that they actually project to be one of the best teams in baseball for the next few years. So absolutely take them seriously. I think the key for them this year has been that back end of the bullpen, what they've gotten from Yennier Cano and Felix Bautista. That's prevented them. This is a team whose pitching was definitely going to be the weak spot. But you look at them, they're 22-11 in one-run games. And right now that's the difference between being in first place and being in second.
Joe, I know it's not a sexy, you know, I'm not saying this. I like Baltimore for whatever, but I mean, you know what I'm saying when it comes to sports. I know it's not a sexy place to land. Is there any chance in the world they could put together some sort of sales pitch for Shohei Ohtani and say, hey, look at all this young talent we've got. We are going to be good for a while. We have guys coming up in the minors, by the way, that are not even here yet that are tearing it up. They're going to be good. You are going to be surrounded by talent for the next 5 to 8 years, and that's the prime of your career as it is anyway. Come here. Let's win some World Series. Is there any chance in the world?
Well, you got to worry about whether he's seen this documentary called The Wire that might scare people away from Paul Dalla. Here's the best argument the Orioles have. They're not spending any money. If you look at their projected payroll next year, it's $21 million, which is basically what they pay you, Matt. You know, you look at the tax threshold is going to be $243 million. If you're going to tear Shohei Ohtani away from you know, the typical teams, right? The Dodgers, the Padres, the Angels, the Yankees, teams we expect to be in on them, you're going to have to overpay, and you're going to have to make the point that you just made, which is that this is going to be a good team. I've said he's going to the Dodgers. I've said this for a long time now. If you're going to pull him away from the Dodgers, you have to make the case that we're going to win. And if you're the Orioles, you can say, you know what? Here's 4 years and $320 million. Here's $80 million a year to come play for us for the next 4 years. You can go be a free agent again when you're 31, 32 years old. But right now, he's $80 million a year because the Orioles can pay Shohei Ohtani $80 million a year, blow everybody else out of the water, and still stay well under the luxury tax threshold. That's the luxury the teams like the Orioles and the Reds both have great young teams with players with no service time and incredibly low payroll. So if you're going to steal Ohtani, I think you've got to do it with some crazy blow people out of the water offer. Maybe it's not 80, maybe it's 70.
Right.
If you think he's going to make 50 or 55 from the Dodgers, just go over the top. Go to 65 or 70. But you're going to have to do it with money. And the Orioles are a team, John Angelos lying in the New York Times notwithstanding, the Orioles are a team that can do that.
If we look at the AL West, the Rangers were you know, holding that down for the longest time now in a five-game skid, and then you see this Mariners team roll seven off in a row, and now we look up, and the Astros only a game and a half behind the Rangers, Mariners only two games back. We still have a decent amount of baseball left to be played, Joe. When it's all said and done, is it Rangers, is it Astros, or is it Mariners?
I think it's not Rangers. Whether it's the Mariners or the Astros, I'm not entirely sure. But you look at, there was always some collapse risk with this Rangers team. When you looked at the performances they were getting from the young players, when you looked at the stability of the starting rotation, and when they traded for Scherzer and Montgomery at the deadline, I kind of figured they patched over that. And then subsequently, Josh Young got hurt. We've seen Ezekiel Duran really start to lose it offensively. Leody Taveras, I don't think, has had a hit since June. They started to collapse a little bit offensively and pitching-wise. So the Astros and the Mariners are just better teams. If you just look at the on paper, they're better teams. And we started to see, like I say, the head-to-head, the Rangers fall apart a little bit. I do think the Rangers will hold on for a playoff spot. But right now, if I could get, you know, better than even money for them to not win the division, I would absolutely take it.
So as we were talking about with the Orioles, then I want to kind of go a little bit further than with this. If you're saying that anyone that gets in the playoffs can be dangerous, can make a run, can do something, what we've seen here from this Mariners team, they're still 17-1 to win the World Series. Do you think that they're deep enough? Do you think that they have what it takes? I know they're kind of relying on some guys that aren't necessarily superstars outside of Julio Rodriguez to get things done for them as well. 17-1 is one of the longer shot kind of guys that we can still, you know, safely project to probably get into the playoffs. How do you feel about that?
I don't love the number because 17-1 is just light. If you think about playing in the wild card series, you're probably 15-1 from that point forward. So I think that's a little light. I will say, though, that the Mariners are probably underpriced relative to their actual odds. They might, the offense is an issue. I mean, you have Julio Rodriguez, you know, Cal Raleigh will hit some power for some power, Teoscar Hernandez will hit for some power. But when you look at this pitching staff, no team in the playoff field will have a better rotation than Castillo, Kirby, Gilbert, and Bryce Miller. Very few teams, maybe no teams, will have a better back end of the bullpen than Matt Brash, Andres Munoz, and Gabe Spire. I'm just really excited about what this team can do from a run prevention standpoint. Remember last year in the playoffs? They shut out the Astros for 17 innings in that decisive game before losing in 18. That's the kind of run they could go on in October. So talking about dangerous teams, talking about teams that I don't really want to get matched up with in October, the Mariners are high on that list.
Man, Joe, I could sit here and talk macro baseball, talk with you for forever. I've only got about 30 seconds, but the Rays, we know what's going on with them. The pitching staff completely decimated by injury, the Wander Franco thing that's lingering out there, whatever. Is there a chance this Rays team could fall all the way out of the playoff picture?
Yeah, I talked about this last time I was on the air. They were like 9-1 to miss the playoffs, and I think that was a good number then. I'm not sure what it is today, but there's a lot of collapse risk with all of the pitching that they've lost. And now this issue with Franco possibly not playing the rest of the year.
At @Joe_Sheehan, of course, he is the proprietor of the Joe Sheehan Baseball Newsletter. You should go in. You should subscribe. It is amazing. Joe, thanks for your time today, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Matt. Take care.
When we come back, a little AFC East quick thoughts. What do we think about the division as a whole? And then we're going to get into some of these very interesting markets that are being posted out there. You have interdivision leaders that you can bet. So not even having to stretch it across the entire NFL. Who's going to lead a specific division in the various categories? We'll talk about that next here on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Attention BetMGM customers, have a friend that loves sports betting as much as you do, Here's a chance for both of you to earn $100 bonus when they sign up through BetMGM's Refer a Friend program. Just sign up BetMGM account and click Refer a Friend program. Send a friend a message inviting them to register a new account at the same time as you and BetMGM. Once your friend signs up, makes a deposit, they'll receive a $100 bonus, and once your friend places a bet with their bonus, the wager is settled, you'll receive a $100 bonus as well. BetMGM And GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. You do have to be 21 years of age or older to wager. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. A reward is issued in non-withdrawable bonus bets, and those bonus bets do expire after 30 days. If you have a gambling problem, 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotion not available in Massachusetts, Mississippi, I should say, and Nevada. We don't get any of those promotions. We never have. It's okay. I'm used to it. Been reading those reads for years and years, Kelly, and at the end it always says not available in Nevada. That's like the thing. I'm glad at least another couple states have joined us in the pain and the suffering.
That's right.
So we got some news, right, when we were on break.
Yeah, breaking news out of Bucks camp. Baker Mayfield has been named your starting quarterback for
the season.
We
say on this very program yesterday that, like, even though Todd Bowles came out and said, no, we did not hold him out because he's the starter. That's not what we did. It was just, it worked out that way. No, he was the starter, and so, of course, he's going to be the starter. If you've been following the NFL, though, you know it is one of the projected to be one of the worst teams in the NFL. They are projected last in that division as well, and they are one of the longest shots to win the Super Bowl, too. So it is, whether it's Baker Mayfield, whether it's Kyle Trask, whoever it's going to be, likely to be a pretty bad team somewhere along the way. Anyway, so the AFC East, and the AFC East is a pretty interesting division in my personal opinion, Kelly. I told you whenever we were doing our power rankings, I think this Dolphins team is pretty legit. I think that this Dolphins team, certainly when you kind of look at everything that is around, one of the deals I think that people don't really take into account very well in all of this is just how good Tua played and has played.
Yeah,
and
yes. That seemingly gets forgotten too easily. I don't get it.
Like when he's out on the field, I don't really get it. You know, I mean, you take a look, they were 9-8 last year, and Tua, they start out 3-0, right? They start out 3-0, and then Tua gets a concussion, they lose three games in a row. So Tua's not out there, gets a concussion, lose three games in a row. He comes back in week 7, they rattle off 5 in a row when he's playing, right? Now, they do go on a 3-game skid, but I don't think it's anything you're going to hang your head about. Those losses were to the 49ers, they were to the Chargers, and they were to the Bills, right? I mean, those are all three really good teams, and so you do lose those games. Then if you remember, Tua is sitting there playing on Christmas Day against the Packers and scores 20-10. There's about 2.5 minutes left in the first half. At this point, again, they're up 10 points. At this point, Tua is 9 of 12 for 229 yards in that game. He gets hit. For whatever reason, me, you, your blind dog, your grandmother, everyone saw that he got concussed yet again. And for whatever reason, no one on the sidelines saw that he got concussed and trotted him back out there. The rest of the game, he throws for 81 yards and 3 interceptions. And oh, by the way, we find out after the game, yeah, he actually was concussed and he doesn't play another game the rest of the season. So when he was actually out on the field, this team was really, really good. And they won a bunch of games and Tua played really well, just not getting the credit that he deserved at all. Now you bring in Vic Fangio to be the defensive coordinator for this squad as well. I think that this is something that's kind of gone under the radar. Now, no matter what you think about Vic Fangio as a head coach or not, there are some of these guys that just don't really cut it as head coaches, but as coordinators, they are just absolutely fantastic. And Vic Fangio, you can ask anybody in the NFL circles, is known as one of the defensive masterminds of the last couple of decades. I mean, Vic Fangio and defense just go synonymous in the NFL. So I think this Dolphins team is pretty good. They trade for Jalen Ramsey. Of course, he's dealing with some injuries and stuff right now. But, like, you bring in some other guys, David Long, a linebacker. He's going to start. He's a really, really good player. You bring in Braxton Berrios to kind of run the slot stuff for you. Eli Apple, see if there's anything left in the tank with him. You bring in Mike White as a backup, so you're not throwing out Teddy Two Gloves whenever you're going out there. Skylar Thompson, so you do have him as well. I don't know, Kelly. Maybe I'm a little too high on this team because I guess there is still always injury risk, but there's injury risk with any player, with any quarterback in the NFL, so I can't go into a season going, yeah, but he's going to get concussed again. I just have to assume, you have to assume health and yeah, maybe weigh it just a little bit that there is a history there for Tua, but man, I really do like what they put on paper here.
Yeah, no, me too. This is, you know, we were talking about it during a break after we did our power rankings and kind of batting around, hey, there's probably a couple teams that, you know, maybe we would have switched around a little bit near the tail end, but the Dolphins, I didn't have them in my top 10, but they're squarely number 11 for me, if not belonging in that top 10. Agree with everything you just said. I think the Jalen Ramsey injury is a big disappointment because I think he – I know there were some people saying they didn't think it was that big of an addition for him. I really do think that would have been a big addition for the Dolphins. We'll see when he comes back. But I love what this team does offensively. It's just the defense is going to have to pick things up. And like you said, how big of a difference can Vic Fangio make? How big of a difference can some of these additions make? I think the ceiling's really high for this team, though. Just, you know, stuck in a very, very tough division, right?
Yeah, I mean, you look at the Bills. Of course, the Bills in the division. Sean McDermott is going to actually call plays on the defensive side of the ball. If you guys didn't follow this in the offseason, Leslie Frazier is going to take the season off. They're saying he's going to come back next year, whatever. But Sean McDermott chose to not replace him with someone temporary, and Sean McDermott is going to take on, you know, calling defensive plays. How does that affect that, you know, whenever he's having to kind of split duties there? They enter the season with the second toughest schedule in all of the league. Now, they did get a couple of big pickups to go along with some of their losses. Like, you lose Tremaine Edmonds, you lose Roger Saffold, you lose, you know, Devin Singletary, Isaiah McKenzie, Jameson Crowder. There were some losses, but they did get Connor McGovern, one of the best right tackles in the NFL. You bring in Leonard Floyd as well as an edge rusher. Those are really, really good pickups for this Bills team. And, you know, you kind of look, Kelly, the real question that I have, though, is the offensive line for the Bills. And I understand you have a mobile quarterback in Josh Allen, but you're heading into this with, at least Pro Football Focus thinks that the 22nd best offensive line as we head into the season. And for a team that relies so heavily on early down success, they were the second highest in early down success rate last year in the NFL. If Josh Allen is not being able to run the offense properly and not being able to get those yards on first and second down, I mean, can they be as efficient moving forward? I just think that there are some questions. I mentioned it a little bit earlier. Yeah. The wide receiver two position wasn't necessarily addressed where I thought that that could have been something they could have upgraded to. And so I don't know, man. I think they're going to be really good. You have Josh Allen. You're going to be really good. But I don't know if they're like, I don't know if the ceiling is Super Bowl, actually, for the Bills.
Yeah, I think they take maybe a slight step back this year. I think we've maybe seen the extent of what this current kind of Bills roster can do. It's just, it's so reliant on Josh Allen, right? Yeah. Like, I mean, we're talking about the Dolphins before and Tua and everybody having these injury concerns with Tua before. Okay, I get it. He's got the track record. There's a track record there with Josh Allen too, and there's almost no quarterback in the NFL that's more exposed to hits than Josh Allen because of how much they utilize him in the running game. So, and then you talk about a porous offensive line. This guy's going to be taken off even more probably. So
yeah.
It's a lot of the reasons like that. I don't know if
I'm not willing to bet the win total. I think 10.5 is like dead on, right?
Yeah,
and like
yep.
I think it is 10-7, 11-6, like that to me, I'm not willing to pull the trigger on that. I think the number is dead on right there. And that's kind of how I see the outcome of this team.
Yeah. So. Do you have any bets in this division? Because I think this division is a little tough and confusing for me. This is where one I stayed away from. If anything, I'd be looking towards Dolphins bets, but I didn't get on board with it.
No, it's actually I think it might be one of the only ones where I don't have a single bet with anything, be it a player prop, be it anything, like any of that stuff, right? I kind of want to fade the Jets, but I can't quite get there. Look, 7-10 last season. They bring in Nathaniel Hackett as offensive coordinator. You say what you want to about him being a head coach at Denver, but he's had success with Aaron Rodgers before on the offensive side of the ball, so I'm not going to discredit what you get there. Of course, they signed Dalvin Cook as well. That can only help. Adrian Amos at safety, Chuck Clark at safety, Quentin Jefferson and Al Woods on the defensive line. So, I mean, listen, there are a lot of guys that they brought in. Whatever's left of Mecole Hardman, you know, you got him. Of course, the two guys that played with Aaron in Green Bay and Alan Lazard and Randall Cobb, those guys are all there. So you lose Sheldon Rankins, you lose George Fant. That's not great. But, I mean, all in all, it was a lot more additions than subtractions for this team. Kelly, the only thing that I think is definitely going to be sticky here in this, and this is something I guess you could look at from not only just a total perspective with this team, but also from a player perspective and all that. And we'll get to these markets a little bit later in the show. But if you take a look, in 2020, offensive coordinator for the Packers was Nathaniel Hackett. He's now the offensive coordinator for the Jets. They were the dead last in pace situation neutral in the NFL. 2021, they were 31st in situation neutral pace. Nathaniel Hackett leaves. Even last year, the Packers were 28th in situation neutral pace. Aaron Rodgers just doesn't run a fast out. He's a very deliberate quarterback. He gets up to the line. He reads the defenses. He's calling audibles. He's doing all that stuff. So you got to be pretty efficient if you're going to like hit some of these targets when it comes to, you know, numbers from a passing perspective, even a receiving perspective for some of the receivers and things like that. Because if you are running far fewer plays per game than your opponent, it's just far fewer opportunities as well for things like that to happen. So again, just something for us to keep in mind as we continue to handicap our number two of a numbers game when we come back.